crazy stuff, doesn't it? Well, I'm going to tell you what. The greatest reality in the world today is not in the world today. It is what's happening above the world. It's in the world too, but it is the spirit realm. There's a reality going on in the spirit world that is more lasting and more real than you and I conversing right now. And it took them 21 days to fight through this. But the prayer was heard, and Gabriel goes and speaks to Daniel of this 70-week prophecy. Now, this is one deep, this is big meat prophecy. I'm going to give you niblets and bite-sized chunks because it requires great depth. What I want you to know, though, is that the prophet Daniel is the real article, as he was proven time and time and time again by the prophecies that he'd given and the prophecies that were fulfilled against kings, secular kings, who at times wanted him dead, whether it's the lion's den, which you'll hear about next week, which it's about the fiery furnace, whether it's imprisonment. Yet, the prophecy that the Spirit spoke through him stood. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we just pray right now for the remainder of this time that you speak through this vessel. Remove me and fill me with you, that I deliver the very things you want me to deliver. I pray this in Jesus' name. So if you could please stand for the reading of the word. And what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? And then in Acts 1:6 it says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore your kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Heavenly Father, do what you're going to do, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. In order to lay a little bit of a foundation here, I want to talk about something I think is important. And it's days and times and things, but I want to establish first and foremost that our God, the Lord Jesus, his precious Holy Spirit, and the Father, all one, are eternal beings. They've been around eternally, forever, both ways. And God constructs time for us, and we operate within time. So Matthew is saying, he's telling us to take a look really at Christ and not look at the times or the days or the seasons. Because sometimes when we look at those things with such intensity, that becomes our focus and not him. We are to look to him in these days and all days. Don't concern yourself so much with the times. Now, he's going to give a big prophecy that's going to explain to us what the times are, but the focus must always be Christ. And I'll get into some salty sayings if it comes upon me, but he's the focus. It's about him. They want to know when the kingdom's going to be restored. I'm going to tell you right now, I believe in this service this morning, the kingdom for some of you is restored today. Some of you took a step closer to Christ, and there was a restoration taking place in you right then and there. And I think I should be restored daily. But some, maybe you were restored for the first time. You saw the reality of who Jesus was in your heart, and something's happening inside of you, and you need to come to him. That's our focus. That was the word that was given to us to go and tell. It's about him. Not to get caught up in too many other things, and I'll speak to that in just a little bit. I want to talk about time before I get to those things, though. So I'm laying a foundation as best as I know how, or as best as the Spirit has given me. In Genesis 1:3, it says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So when I look at that scripture, what I see happening is God creates time. He defines parameters and limits on time, and he does it with day and night. So when we want to know the day and an hour that things are happening, don't be too concerned about that. Stay the course. Do the things you're called to do. I'm going to talk about those in a little bit. But know that he is over time. He has authority over time. Time is in his hands. There's been times in Joshua where he called time to stand still. So don't worry about so much the time. It's okay for us to know a season. When we start worrying about time and the things happening around us, we begin to chase those things. Why do we do that? We're going to thwart the plans of the enemy. Okay, you can pray against the enemy, but he's asking you to look to him. Look to him. Be led by him. Pray for people. Help people. It was said to me that there should be healings and deliverances more in the church. I agree. That happens when we're looking to him. Pray about what he is going to do, not what the enemy does to us. It's kind of hard, isn't it? But it's truth. Keep your eyes fixed upon him. And all the other stuff, you know, becomes less. So what do we need to know about this time? Well, it tells us that in 2 Peter that, you know, that a day is as 1,000 years. In Psalm 33:9, it says, "For he spoke and it was done, he commanded and it stood fast." So why is there something in us that makes us worry about time all the time? Well, the time we should worry about is eternal, so it's beyond time. Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time, and he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out that the work that God does from the beginning to the end." He has put eternity in your hearts, and he does it for a purpose, so that you would look to the eternal one. That's the time that we concern ourselves with. He has put that in me, that I look to him who is eternal. And at the end of all the mess, and at the end of all the glory that happens here on earth, and at the end of all things, I will be with him eternally, and so will every one of you who lifts up the name of Jesus, that calls him Lord, that believes that he died and took your sin from you, and that he restored you. That's what we focus on. That's the primary focus. Now, trust this also. God is always, always, always at work. And the beautiful thing to me, and I said the reason why I get excited a little bit about some of what's happening in these days, is I know he's at work. And sometimes the work is hard. In fact, I'm saying it with a smile, but I don't like it when he's working on me. I'm miserable. Poor Donnie limped up here, 104 years old, saying how much he doesn't like wearing a mask. God's doing a work in Donnie. He's doing a work in me. He's changing my perspective. Thank you for that, Donnie. That song is so simple and so precious and so the heart of God. Thank you for that. Psalm 90:12 says that we are to, so teach us, Lord, to number our days that we may gain heart of wisdom. Number our days. We only have so many days. You can break them down into years. 72 years is about the average. It's probably gone up a few years. That's it. It's a blip. It's a vapor. And if we focus too much on this blip or this vapor and not look to eternal things, we've missed a mark. If I'm concerned with signs, there's some revelation that happens with being concerned with signs. The revelation is this: I'm looking to signs instead of looking to him. I'm operating out of proof as opposed to faith. That's the issue. If I don't look at signs, if I don't concern myself too much with signs, I'm able to focus in on him by faith. We're saved by our faith. He desires us to operate by faith. Faith is the substance of things unseen. Remember, he came against Thomas. You believe because you put your hand in here. You put your hand in here. Blessed are those who believe without seeing. I know this because I'm speaking to myself. I want to see signs. I want to see wonders. I want to see miracles. But they don't define who I am in Christ. I want to see them. Kathy, I want to see you get up and walk. I want to see it. But my life doesn't revolve around whether Kathy gets up and walks, whether my kids are healthy, or that's not it. I trust that God has you right where he wants you. I trust that he has me right where he wants me. I trust that when I go through these trials and these tough times, that he is doing something in me. It's a rub. It's rough sometimes. I don't like it, but it's good for me. And I have to believe by faith. With that said, I still want to see signs and wonders. But that's not my focus. That makes sense? All right. I think I'm starting to get it. Isaiah 49:6 says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done." Thank you, Jesus. So what do we need to know about the times and the days? Psalm 139:16 says, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and your book all the days of my life were written before they were ever taken shape, before they took shape. When as yet there were none of them. Before I was, he knew me. He created me." This speaks to his eternal being. It speaks to his omniscience, his all-knowing. It speaks to who he is. He knows me, and my days are numbered. And what can I do to add or subtract a day to my life when God says they're already numbered? It gives me the freedom to operate for him, for his glory and for his purposes, not to concern myself with what's going to happen at me. Thank you, Jesus. John 16:13 says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come." That's the answer to their question. When will it be? When will be the coming of your kingdom? Tell us of these days. And basically, he's saying, the Spirit of God will reveal the truth to you. Now, I happen to be a conspiracy guy. Just saying. I love conspiracies. And if you have one, I want you to tell me about it. I've heard several lately. What I don't want is I don't want your YouTube videos. Don't send me YouTubes of what conspiracy you saw. You come and tell me what God is saying to you about conspiring things. I'm going to say this to you. There is conspiracy. The devil is a liar. He's a conspirer. He's wicked, and there's ways about him that are meant to thwart us, mess us up, destroy us. So when you say, are there conspiracies? I say, yes, there are. The father of lies and conspiracies is him. But I know there's some things that God reveals to people, and yeah, share those with me because I like to hear them, because it does something for me, good in my faith. And if it's nuts, I'm going to say you're nuts. If you're off in some wacko place, I'm going to tell you. Because if you're going to take my time to tell me about the conspiracies that you know, I'm going to tell you the time to be honest. Or I'm going to say, I'm with you. I'm right there. I totally get what you're saying. I'm right there. And I've done that. So I'm going to have you sift through your own conspiracy theories. I got the verse in Isaiah 11 that speaks about conspiracies. And basically the gist of it is not to focus on those things. Because when you're focusing on those things, what it's doing is taking you off a track of what's true and what's right and what's righteous. It's taking you off of Christ. Come back to him. The reason why we're going through this message over the next 5 weeks is to say what the Bible says about the days that we're living in and the days to come. And boy, oh boy, there is hope for the believer. And I am so excited. Just recently, my brother had family members that went to be with the Father. That's hope. We have hope. We who have a faith have a hope. We without faith, those without faith, have no hope. That's it. Or they put their hope in the wrong thing. That was the word we had today. We have to go out and tell and give people the hope that they have. It's what we're to be looking for. Titus 2:13 says, "Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior." That's what we should be watching for. That's what we're looking for. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." That's where our eyes should go. That's what we need to know, is what he has done. I haven't even talked about Daniel yet. I'm setting a foundation for what's important. And we get that foundation right. Now when Daniel gives his prophecy, which is incredible, we're good. We're seeing it rightly. Not through a YouTube video, not through fear, but through the righteousness of who God is by his word. Thank you. So what should we be doing? Well, I have a few things here. I jotted these few things down, what we should be doing in this day. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's what we should be doing. Praying, worshiping, seeking Him in these days. In everything, give thanks. Do you have a thankful heart and a thankful spirit? Good. Have that. Cultivate that. Turn your eyes upon Christ and exude the grateful heart that you have. Thank you, Jesus. We should be abiding in His Word. So the heart of this church is to not deviate from the study of God's Word. But we should abide in His Word. Like I said, I'm not able to go through the whole book of Daniel at this time because I have to focus on this element, which is so pertinent to today. But if you go and listen to each of the journals that are going to be going over in the next 5 weeks, you're going to see what the pastors are saying, that God has revealed to them by His Spirit what we need to know. And we get a great comprehensive look at this book. It's beautiful. And by the way, before I go any further, there's another one you have to go back and look at. It's Mike Waldrop's Mark 13. You can find it on YouTube. Hopefully you can get it on the website. Go see that video, because when we get into the Daniel, the abomination that caused desolation, his teaching on it is clean and it's perfect. But don't neglect going to the website. Parents, don't neglect going there to see what's on the pages for your children and for you and maybe the struggles you're going through. We have materials for you to search out to help you through these kinds of days. We should be operating in His power. Remember I said there should be signs, wonders, and miracles? That's not what we look for. We look to Christ. The byproduct of that is signs, wonders, and miracles. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." That power is first and foremost to be a witness for Him. That's why we need power, is to speak about Him. Do a quick assessment even of yourselves. Who am I speaking to? Who am I sharing it with? Is there anybody? Well, then ask God to give you the power to do that. I don't want to judge you. I want to encourage you to step forth in that. That word this morning was clear by the Spirit of God. So operating in His power, serving His people. We got people with servants' hearts here in this church, and it's amazing. Go serve. And here's what I want to tell you not to do. Don't come to me and say, "Why aren't we serving? This place is serving, or this place is serving." God is laying it on your heart to go serve. Go serve. Go serve. We have a page that tells you places you can go, places you can help. Laundry Love is a place that serves people food. And we need to send people there. They need help. They need laborers to go help. To do what? Feed people in laundromats food. Let them know you're from Living Hope Church. That's what you need. Go help. Do that. That's just one thing. Serve. Help your neighbor. Don't say, "Hey, Pastor Mike, my neighbor's really struggling. Could you come over and pray for him?" Heck no! You pray for him. Here's what you do. Get a jar of Wesson oil, sprinkle it on your hands, put it on their forehead and say, boom. Don't make me do that. I got my own neighbors. And by the way, I have the same angst that you have to go do it. I have to have the power of the Holy Spirit to go do it too, to speak to them. Thank you, Jesus. Go serve. Matthew 24, 45 through 47 says, "Who then is faithful and wise servant, whom his master has made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Blessed are you when you're caught doing good. Blessed are you when you are serving somebody." I'll just throw a little addendum onto that, not adding to the scripture, but what comes to my heart. Blessed are you when you submit to others for their benefit. That's what Pastor Donnie was talking about in a very sweet and gentle way. Submitting to others for their benefit. And that goes both ways. Thank you, Jesus. So with all that said, about time, about what we should be doing, don't worry about the time, all that. I'm going to get into Daniel, and I'm going to go really fast. We're going to do the Daniel study in 5 minutes. Daniel 9:20. "While I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin, the sin of my people Israel, and the presenting of my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of God." Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at the beginning, caused to fly swiftly, reach out to me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and he talked with me and said, "Oh, Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand." Lord Jesus, I pray right now for our whole congregation here, all of us. Give us skill to understand what you speak to us by your word. Holy Spirit, do that work in each of us, in Jesus' name. And it says, at the beginning of your supplications, which means prayer, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. So basically what's happening is Gabriel comes to Daniel because Daniel is in prayer. And Daniel is a prayer warrior. You know, the Daniel fast comes for the 21 days of prayer that he engaged in. And as he's praying, there is warfare going on with Mike, like I said earlier, over the prince of Persia, to get the message to Gabriel to give to Daniel. Why? Because there's a big deal here. And it establishes God's plan before us just to encourage us in our hope and our belief. And our desire to move. And he says, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. These 70 weeks, this is so controversial. 15 of you are going to be mad at me after I get done saying all this stuff, but it's okay. Because this is deep. You might see it differently than what I'm going to say it. Then continue in your study and I'll continue in mine. This is gold though. 70 weeks aren't the typical 70 weeks that you and I imagine. 70 weeks, that's usually the term of half my loans for cars or something that takes 70 weeks. Right? You know, if you got a really bad deal, go to Lucas. He'll get you in. He'll get you a great deal. I don't know if he does that anymore. Probably not. But these 70 weeks are numbered differently. So a week typically is 7 days. But the 70 weeks that they're talking about here is like a week of weeks or a week of years. So I have 7 day week, but really it's each day is equivalent to a year. So you have 7 years in each week. And there's 70 of them. And it is for the fulfillment, to speak to what's going to happen over the course of time, for the fulfillment of God's plan, first and foremost and always for Israel. First. And as you go through the plan of these years, it begins with the declaration of the rebuilding of the city, which we find in Nehemiah chapter 2. Remember Nehemiah, the minor prophets we've just studied? Oh my goodness, they've come to life again. So Nehemiah was charged to build the wall, but he's also charged to build the city. And then comes Ezra and Haggai, which we just talked about, who come to build the temple and make it right. So at the declaration of the building of the temple starts this prophetic timetable of 70 weeks. But those 70 weeks, if you do all the math, I'm going to go really fast. 70 weeks times 7 years becomes 490 years. And in the process of that 490 years, and just let me talk about it, there is a stop. And the stop happens when Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. And this is the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9. It says, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." When he comes to do that work, that puts a stop to the 70 weeks. So it's 69 weeks have taken place to this time. What prompted, who's the guy we're talking about? Daniel. What prompted Daniel to look at this? The thing that prompted him to look at this and pray about it was he knew about 70 weeks because there's a prophecy in Jeremiah 25 that speaks of what's going to happen, the punishment or the things that come against Israel. And he knew that it was at the end of that time. But the beauty of God is when he gives a prophecy, there's a near fulfillment and then there's a great fulfillment at the end. And the great fulfillment at the end is what God is going to do for his people first. in us. So at the end of the 69 weeks, Jesus comes riding in on a donkey. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You all remember that. We talk about that every Good Friday. That ends the first 69 weeks. From that point until the call up of the church, the rapture of the church, is a time that's not about the 70 weeks. There's a gap, they say. There's a gap because what's happened at this time, Jesus goes through 7 days. And you know this, tips over the tables in the temple, has the Last Supper. He's then betrayed. He's then beaten. He's judged in a kangaroo court. He's taken to the cross. He goes on the cross. He suffers on the cross. Spear pierces him. He dies. He's put in the ground for 3 days. It was the finish of the transgression of his people. He's paid the price of sin. And now, this period between the 69th and 70th week is about growing the church. But first is for growing Israel. If you recall, the first people saved, 3,000, 5,000, those big numbers of first salvations were all Jews. It was all about the Jew. And it is all about the Jew, and it will always be about the Jew, but it is also an opportunity for the Gentiles to come to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So he says in Jeremiah 31:31, it says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." That's what's happening. When Jesus did his atoning work on the cross, that's about the new covenant. We know it is that. So this age is truly the new covenant age. It's what it should be called. And I don't want to confuse you, but some people call it the church age. And it is. But remember, it is always the Jew first. And Paul's going to deal with us on that whole point when he gets back into Romans. It's because of the Jew first. Don't forget that. We have been blessed to be included. All right? So what's going on? Jews don't get it. Some are. There's Messianic Jews. Thank God for the Messianic Jews. But there's always a remnant with every generation with the Jewish people. And there will be in the end. And we're going to talk about the end as we move forward. And the end is, it's incredibly awesome and scary and horrible and brilliant and all the above. He says, with Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers. Why? Because they broke that covenant. The Jews did. They broke the covenant with their father. Oh, it says that right here. I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this covenant that will make the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin and will remember them no more. That's what Jesus did at the cross, and like I said, for the Jew first, and then for us. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I got 3 minutes to just bring this home. The 70th week. The 70th week begins with God calling his church home. We're going to talk more about that next week. But it's also a time for the Jews who have operated out of rebellion to God. They have not received the Messiah as he is. They didn't receive Jesus as Messiah. They're still waiting for a Messiah. And God is going to get their attention. Because our foundation to understanding who Jesus is as Messiah comes from the Old Testament. And they should not have missed it. And maybe they were dulled for a time that we, the Gentiles, would have an opportunity to come to God. That's deeper thinking. I don't want to get into that right now. But praise God, because he's calling his church. And his church is filled with Jews, and it's filled with Gentiles. Jews who believe in who Jesus is. And the beautiful thing about him calling Jews and Gentiles, when we come to him, spiritually, we are true Israel. We are spiritual Jews. Thank you, Jesus. So don't rip on any Jews, because you're a Jew if you're in Christ. And don't rip on the Jews who have been lost. That's not something we take lightly. That's God's business. Let God deal with what God deals with. We deal with who do we know and who do we need to share the truth of who he is. Now, what's happening in the world today? I'm not saying this is what's happening in the world today. We're now entering the Great Tribulation. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying there are birth pangs. And the birth pangs are like Braxton Hicks, and only women really know what this is because none of us paid attention when we were doing the Lamaze thing. They're contractions that the earth has been going through and that people have been going through for quite some time. And they're stepping up in intensity and fervency, more frequent. I see that. But I don't know that God has released the four horsemen, which we'll talk about. I don't know that God has began the seal judgments and the trumpet judgments and the bowl judgments. Thank you. Some saints who know their stuff. I don't think that's happened yet. In fact, I would say it has not happened yet. The 70th week begins when God calls his church home. It's called the rapture of the church, and we're going to talk about that next week. Hallelujah. If there's anybody here, this is kind of a little bit of a historical lesson. You heard some prophetic words at the beginning of the service. The worship was beautiful. And then you heard a teaching of the foundation of what our faith is, where it came from, and maybe and what's to come. And you say, right now, if we want to talk about time and important time, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. That's an important time, that today is the day of salvation. If you've never asked Christ to come into your heart, you just slip your hand up where you are right now, and we'll all pray with you. Is there anybody that wants to do that today? Receive Jesus into your heart. Jesus is the one who takes away our sin. He's the one that forgives us. He's the one who restores us. He is the one that loves us with an everlasting love. Is there anybody? Okay. I will be up here for a short time after the service. If you have something stirring, you want to get prayer, you come on up and I'll pray for you. In Jesus' name. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person here in this place that you stir us, Lord, in the ways that grow us closer to you. We put you in first place. We put you in the front of all things. Let us not get distracted by this over there or that over there, but let us keep our eyes fixed upon you. I pray this for each of us in Jesus' name. I pray for the spirit of unity to continue to grow and build in this church. For us, yes, but for the glory of God. I pray that in Jesus' name. I pray for what's coming Wednesday, that it be a joyful time for the church, but that we knit together closer and closer, especially as we see the day approaching. Now bless each in their families. Bless each in their struggles. Let them see you in the midst of those, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I feel like I have an announcement that I have to give. Is there an announcement I have to give, Sally?